Oh my gosh, Chip, you're never good. Oh geez, that was close. Sorry, mate, I am an absolute shambles. I've been stuck in a meeting all day, right? Turns out there's some bloke from up north that's been stealing road signs. We've been searching for leads.
Sensational.
Anyways, let us know, Chip, what's on the menu?
Anyway, we have the case of Charles Bronson.
Charles Bronson is a man revered by his subjects, feared by his enemies, and understood by no one. From the love of poetry to the sound of bones breaking, who is Charles Bronson?
These days he goes as Charles Arthur Salvador, also known as the most violent prisoner in Britain, a man that has spent 45 years behind bars and has only had 122 days of freedom since the age of 22.
I'm not going to lie, when we went through this case together, the whole thing is just sort of a list of the amount of people that he's punched up.
Yeah.
So, get ready, buckle in, and listen to one of the craziest prisoner stories you'll probably ever hear.
Yeah, he also looks really cool.
He does. This is what he looks like. Could you ever grow a mustache like that?
Absolutely. Charles Bronson, he was born in Luton, one of three sons, and when he was a teenager, he moved to Cheshire. Okay. This is where it started kicking off. He starts making a lot of trouble.
Isn't Cheshire like quite a posh place?
I was thinking that myself, but hey ho.
Who knows? Who's better to rob than rich people, I suppose?
Yeah, true. Well, anyway, at the age of 13, he joined a gang of four robbers. And obviously, this got him into trouble. He got reprimanded at juvenile court, or juvie. Mm-hmm. That's what they call it in the movies.
It's not ideal. Not a great start to your life.
No, 100%. 100%. Of course. He started skipping school, started having fights, you know, all this kind of stuff. It makes a lot of sense. Managed to snag a job at Tesco.
Okay.
Tells you a lot about Tesco, doesn't it?
Well, mate, we've gone through this many times.
And that's why we put Asda above Tesco.
No, we don't. Tesco is always above Asda. Come on, guys.
Well, anyway, Tesco came to their senses and they sacked him off after 2 weeks for attacking the manager.
I mean, I think that's a pretty fair thing to do. If anyone attacks anyone in management, I don't think it's a sensible thing to do. I think it's just the right thing to do. But anyways, continue on. Tell me it gets better, Chip. Tell me this is just the end of the story and we could be done with this video.
It's not the end. Anyway, his first time in prison is at a place called Risley. Okay. Risley. He was put there after he smashed some parked cars up.
Okay. Did he give a reason for it? Did they look at him funny?
It was after he had an argument with his girlfriend's father, so...
The natural reaction after you get into an argument with your girlfriend's father is to go and smash up as many cars as you possibly can.
Yes. Anyway, he was fined for this and he was given probation. He started doing a lot of petty crimes after this, but his first serious crime was when he crashed a stolen van into a car.
Huh. I guess that is pretty serious.
Actually, it was a lorry.
It was a lorry.
Yeah,
a van.
Sorry, I got the notes wrong.
No. Do you think a van? No, a lorry is bigger than a van.
A lorry is
big.
A lorry is like a lorry, you know. Lorry. Eddie Sobout. That's a lorry. Yeah. A van is what my dad drives. Anyway, the driver did survive that collision, so he only ended up facing a fine and probation. Didn't actually get anything serious going on there.
Got away with that one.
Yeah, he got away with it. And after that, he went back to more petty crimes.
This guy, he just loves it. He lives for the crime.
But anyway, at the age of 19, so where it gets a little bit more serious, he was convicted of a smash and grab raid and got a suspended sentence.
I'm sorry, but that's his second suspended sentence, right?
Yeah, actually ended up in prison.
I thought that a suspended sentence means if you do one more bad thing, then you then have to, like, do your time for that suspended sentence. Anyways, look, back then... I don't really know how it worked. So.
Yeah, things were different.
Then Charles got a little bit lucky. Met his wife, Irene, in 1971. They married, and then 8 months later, they had a son. Talk about moving quickly.
Ooh, I like that. Charles, he knows what he wants.
At this point, guys, he's heading to prison. Okay? He's heading to prison. And now we're going to start to really just list off the crazy stuff that he got up to. Now, we'll try our best to make sure you guys can keep along, whether that be through graphics or whatever. But let me tell you guys, this guy transfers so many prisons. So strap in, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get to it. It started off in a prison called Walton Gaol. The reason why he went to this prison was he was actually convicted of armed robbery, in 1974, and he was only 22 years old at the time. This just goes to show, like, if this is the first time going to prison, right? And just think about all the stuff he's done beforehand. Like, he's a young bloke that has ended up in prison. Now, he was sentenced to 7 years of imprisonment and soon ended up on the punishment block for attacking two prisoners inside the Walton Gaol prison, right? And supposedly it was just completely unprovoked. It's not like the prisoners wound him up or anything like that.
He just wanted to scrap.
He looked
to him and he was like, you know what, you two are having it today.
Now, Chip was telling me that they actually made a movie about this.
They did make a movie about it, starring Tom Hardy. So you can watch it, it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What would you give out of 10, truthfully?
I can't remember. It was a very long time ago. I'm going to go ahead and give it a 7.
After that, in 1975, he was transferred to Hull Prison, right? He gets to Hull Prison, and it's quite common that in these prisons you get asked to do work. He said, no, I'm not doing any prison work whatsoever. And because you've asked me to do that, I'm going to go ahead and smash up a workshop. And again, he was sent to the punishment block.
What is the punishment block exactly? Is it solitary confinement or is it
I would imagine it's just a shitter place than where you were before. Anyways, when he goes there, he actually gets injected with a sedative. Obviously, the geezer is constantly trying to scrap people, getting up to no good. They've whacked in some sedatives, okay? And unfortunately, he was also given 6 more months to his sentence. Not ideal. Now, while he was taking these sedatives, he actually got really ill off of taking them. Right, so he had to wait for the illness to subside, and then once he recovered, he continued to be such a pain in the arse that he just kept putting him into solitary confinement, right? And this was literally for several months. This wasn't just like a one-off. The guy pretty much stayed in solitary. He then attacked another prisoner, and this time it was with a glass jug, and he was charged with grievous bodily harm, right? And guess what? Another 9 months was added to his sentence.
My lord.
This guy just loves a scrap.
Racking up the numbers, man. It's like gamer score on Xbox.
Seriously. Now, just before we go any further in today's case, we do have to bring you a short break to discuss Noom. Anyways, guys, listen up, right? So if you guys have started January 2022, February 2020, if you started this year, right? And your goal is, look, I want to have a healthier relationship with food, right? Mm-hmm. Now, whether your goal is to lose weight, whether it is to put on weight, look, me and Chip, both of us, we've been looking to put on weight for a while, or even if it's just to make sure you have a healthier relationship with food, then Noom is exactly that for you. So it takes a much more psychological approach to things to really help you achieve the goals that you want to achieve. So instead of having like really strict rules like you can't eat this and you can't eat this, it sort of empowers you with the knowledge and the psychology, right, to build smarter, more sustainable habits and behaviors. So they're really taking a very different approach to sort of your fitness goals, I guess, right? Your health goals. The good thing about Noom is it literally only asks for 10 minutes of your day to teach you about your eating habits, right? And then also just to check in on your progress, which when you think about it, everyone can find 10 minutes in their day, right? Me and Chip are very much believers in science. We wanna hear the numbers, right? Now, let me just list off a couple of these for you guys. More than 80% of Noom users complete the program. More than 60% of users lose 5% or more of body weight, and 60% of them keep the weight off for a year or more, which is super important.
Those are good numbers.
Those are very good numbers. And not only that, but it's so easy to lose, like, okay, wow, you lost the weight, yeah, but can you keep it off? A lot of people sort of relapse and go back into it. Noom is looking at taking that a little bit further and making sure that you have actually built a long-term strategy here, okay? Now, of course, guys, look, me and Chip have both said it. I said it at the beginning. Our own very own personal experience with this sort of thing is that it's important that you make sure you're not just saying, right, I definitely can't have these foods because this isn't going to help me achieve what I want to achieve. Instead, it's like, okay, you can have this sometimes, but also with other things. So it's not one of those really restrictive diets. It doesn't help anyone.
You don't want to ruin the fun.
Exactly. Sometimes, life isn't supposed to be crap.
Sometimes it can be fun to have a small bit of a crunchy.
Bro, no, I'll have the whole crunchy. That's no problem.
Yeah, I don't want to have the
That's
whole
no
crunchy.
Problem because guess what? I know that the rest of the day I'm sticking to the healthiness.
Because Noom has got you.
Noom does have you. Exactly, Chip, right? Now, with Noom, taking care of your health is empowering instead of stress-inducing, right? So there's no need to fear ruining the entire program with just one off day, right? Noom will actually help you get back on track. Now, if this sounds interesting to you and it's something different and a different way of trying out, staying healthy, then you can check out this trial, right? So lose the weight for good. Sign up for your trial at noom.com/fellasmysteries. That's noom.com/fellasmystery. You guys can get your trial there. Where is it, Chip?
Noom.com/fellasmysteries.
Absolutely amazing. Guys, check out the trial. Enjoy.
His violent streak obviously gave him quite the reputation amongst the prisoners. So he kept transferring to different prisons between the years of 1975, 1977. He was switching between Armley, Wakefield, Parkhurst, and a prison called Walton. He was, of course, kept in solitary confinement. A prisoner like this can't usually be on a normal cell block. So he was kept in solitary confinement. And he began a fitness program. It's quite a big man he was.
But so you're just telling me he preempted the 2020...
The fitness boom.
Yeah, the boom. That's what I mean. He was ahead of it. He was a PT before every one of your mates was a PT.
Oh, yes, that's for sure.
He was selling these fucking programs before everyone else.
He was running Pure Gym, let me put it that way.
Okay.
Anyway, he kept attacking prisoners and causing problems, of course. And once,
Charles!
Yeah, well, once whilst he was in solitary confinement after punching up two officers, he was handed divorce papers from his wife.
No! Irene,
come on, Irene. He's been through a lot.
Isn't there a song like, come on, man.
Parkhurst Prison, 1976. Bit of an interesting
fact. What, a new one? Again?
Yeah, of course. Like I said, Jesus. He was transferring to so many prisons. But in Parkhurst Prison, he actually befriended one of the Cray twins.
The famous Cray twins.
You probably know about the Cray twins. But anyway, according to Charles Bronson, they were the two best guys he had ever met.
Of course
Who
they
would
were.
Have thought? And by the way, another interesting fact, most of you guys might know this, but the Cray twins were played by Tom Hardy in a film.
I think it's called Legend.
It is called Legend. That is the one.
Banging film, by the way. Again, would recommend to you guys.
Anyway, what an actor. But anyway, after that, he was moved back to Wandsworth after he threatened to kill a prisoner. Are you surprised?
No. Now, he's been moved to Wandsworth, right? And of course, look, we got a few more to go through here. So like I said, if you don't already have your popcorn, I'll give you 2 seconds to hit pause. All right, now that you've got your popcorn, he was then caught trying to dig his way out of the cell in Wandsworth. And he was trying to do one of them great escapes. We've covered a lot of prison escapes on this channel. You guys should go and check them out. They're really fun. But Charles, he wasn't successful, right? And that was because someone snitched on him, okay? He was sent to 4 months of isolation after being found that he was trying to dig his way out. And then guess what he does? As soon as he gets out of isolation, he chins the bloke that snitched on him.
I don't blame him.
To be fair,
I wonder how far he got.
Why would you snitch? Like, as a prisoner, why would you snitch on someone else trying to escape? Like, what are you benefiting out of that?
Well, I wonder how far he got as well. Like, was he very far in? And he scoops loads out with a spoon, and then he's just at the edge, and there's some guy's going, he's building a hole in, by the way.
Or maybe that guy got sent to isolation and said, look, I'll tell you the name of a prisoner trying to get out if you let me go now.
Smart.
I don't know. Look, okay, so, as you can imagine, the governor at Wandsworth Prison was like, we gotta get rid of this Charles Bronson guy. Like, could you just imagine him being sent away to the next one? So after Wandsworth, he gets sent to the Isle of Wight prison, okay? Now, could you imagine being the people at Isle of Wight hearing that you're gonna have a Charles Bronson thing, just knowing you're in for like the worst time ever?
Not ideal.
Yeah. He got sent to the Isle of Wight where immediately he ended up attacking another prisoner and was again charged with grievously bodily harm. Mate, this guy just doesn't stop. Now, he tried to commit suicide, sadly, and that didn't work out, but he attacked another prisoner and then was sent from Isle of Wight prison to the very famous, the much spoken about, Broadmoor.
Yes, we've spoken about Broadmoor before.
Plenty of times. Talk to us, Chip. What happened in Broadmoor?
Broadmoor was the Moors murderers.
It was, and quite a few others that we've spoken about as well.
Yeah, I feel like it's popped up here and there. Obviously, it's a very notorious prison. But is it for the mentally ill?
Look, it takes a lot to go there.
Yeah.
Okay, put it that way. Talk to me. Tell me. December 1978, right? He arrives there, and very quickly, he was transferred to Rampton Secure hospital, okay? He at this hospital, right? He tried to strangle a child rapist who goes by the name John White, right?
Good on him.
He found it very disturbing to be when he was surrounded by all of these mentally unstable patients.
Yeah, but I mean, is he not very much in the same boat as
well, him? Well, I guess that's probably what he's thinking, right? He's like, I'm not mentally ill. Like, yeah. I just love a scrap. Like, I love to fight. That's the only difference. These are actually mentally disturbed. That's probably where he's seen it. But this man is pretty disturbed himself, right? Now, this is where it gets a bit nuts, really, okay? So in 1982, he performs his very first rooftop protest after escaping to the top of Broadmoor. Okay, first of all, how the hell does a prisoner get on the roof, right? And so when he's on this roof, what he starts doing is ripping off the roof tiles. Okay, this was part of his protest for whatever reason, right? And he, after his first time, right, he comes back down and then he managed to get up a second time onto the rooftop. Guys, can we please just secure the damn rooftop?
I feel like because it's Broadmoor and it's more for like mentally ill patients, it's not like a maximum security prison where it's like you're stuck in the
I'm sorry, if you've got this fella there, make sure there is some
Yeah, I don't
of
know. I just
security.
Don't get how he keeps getting on the roof. Like,
yeah, and this time, on the second time, he actually called £250,000 worth of damage to the place.
Sheesh.
Now, off the back of that, actually, you know, some slightly more positive news about Charles is that he ended up creating some art. And you said, actually, some of it was quite cool. Yes or no?
Yes, yes. I think it could, like, it's been sold at auctions and stuff.
It
charities.
Has.
Like, he's quite renowned for producing some decent art and some poems as well.
So he received awards for his creations, which is obviously pretty cool. I mean, yeah, if you're going to do something productive with your time in prison, I guess this is certainly one way to do it. But it didn't stop there. Because guess what? There was a third rooftop protest. I'm not joking, guys. Seriously.
This guy, is he a bird?
Is he a plane?
He loves the roof.
That's a shit joke. Fucking hell. All right, now, when he was on this rooftop, his protest was that he wanted a prison transfer. But again, he was actually talked down from it, okay? And it didn't stop there because then he decided to start an 18-day hunger strike. And eventually, off the back of that, he was granted a transfer to Ashworth Hospital in June 1984. So he got what he finally wanted, but my God, it took three rooftop protests and an 18-day hunger strike.
An 18-day hunger strike is absolutely nuts.
I get grumpy after 6 hours.
Yeah, 6 hours and I'm on delivery.
Exactly, right. Ashworth, what happened there, Chip?
You won't believe this, my friend. He began being violent again.
Oh,
in fact, somebody, a prisoner, I'm guessing, someone made sexual advances towards him, and that was a big mistake because he ended up getting stabbed by a sauce bottle.
Imagine that, mate. You've been done in by a bottle of ketchup. It's not what you want to hear or see, but...
Yeah, well, anyway, he managed to get himself put back in with the general prison population, but there's always a but. He was placed back in isolation after punching another inmate. So, yeah, don't stop.
At this
really.
Point, you guys have to just be chuckling behind the camera because this I know
man,
for a fact that...
This man has thrown more punches than I've had hot meals. I can't...
It's ridiculous,
yeah,
isn't
it's
it?
Crazy. Anyway, in May 1985, he pleaded guilty to GBH. The sauce bustle incident, by the way, if you were wondering what that was. And had 3 years added to his sentence.
He's never going to get out.
Yeah. It is what it is. I think at this point, he's just like, you know what? Racking up the years, like dollar
fuck
bills,
it.
Like fuck it, I'm never getting out in the first place.
Yeah, okay.
He was obviously then sent back to Walton. He had another three-day rooftop process.
No,
£100,000 worth of damage, you know, and he added another year to his sentence. My man,
I'm really hoping the editor at this point has got like a ka-ching every time like a time gets added to his sentence.
It's just racking up. But I do have a quote here. He moved to Albany, where he punched another convict on his first day in general prison population. He was quickly moved to Wormwood Scrubs, and 2 weeks later was returned to Wandsworth. This man is everywhere.
Imagine that, though. Imagine that. Like, you go somewhere, you turn up to a place, literally, you're there for 2 weeks, and the place goes, we literally can't deal with you. You have to go back to where you came
from. I feel like
this
man has visited more cities than I have in the UK just by being transferred.
Dude. Yeah, yeah, to prison. Seriously, though.
But anyway, another quote. In 1986, Bronson was transferred 8 times. That's in 1 year alone. The only new location being Winchester. He strangled the governor of Wormwood Scrubs during one violent episode. On 3rd of January 1987, he was transferred to Gartree, where he served the rest of his sentence in isolation, other than 10 days spent in a nearby Leicester prison. And this is all by 1987. There's still a lot more to come.
I know. Right, it's 1987, and guess what? Charles finally gets released. Hallelujah. Charles, let's turn your life around, fella. You spent enough time in prison. Let's not go back there. We can remember all the times that he just didn't enjoy the protests, all those things. Now that you're out, let's stay out. Right, so what he did was he had a short career in illegal bare-knuckle boxing in East London.
Makes sense.
He changed his name from Michael Peterson to Charles Bronson, which is what we know him as now. He actually, right, he killed a Rottweiler with his bare hands. And this is sort of a fun fact. Well, it's not very fun, but it's a fact. And he later came out and said it's actually something he's not very proud of because he says, I love animals.
That is...
Poor Rottweiler got him on a bad day, man.
Yeah, I mean...
A real bad day.
Real bad day. If he loves animals and he's killed the dog.
Yeah. Stinker of a day, that.
Yeah. So whilst he's out and about, he actually decided it was a smart idea to rob a jewellery store. But it was all in good spirits as he wanted to give his girlfriend a ring.
That's romantic. That's it.
That's a true love story. Dear John is shaking right now. He could have bought it, but no. Anyway, on January 7th, 1988, he was arrested on his morning jog and he was returned to Leicester Prison.
Charles, what are we going to do?
Please? Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Right, so he's in Leicester Prison, and guess what? To no one's surprise, right, during this trial, there were no eyewitnesses that came forward as they all feared what could actually happen to them if they were to come forward. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Charles is a pretty scary Donnie, right? So, what ended up happening was the girlfriend, Alison, ended up becoming the prosecution's sort of main witness, and she ended up giving them all the evidence they needed to win the trial. Could you imagine that? I've robbed a jewellery store for you, right? I've gone to get you a ring, and you just ratted me out.
So Charles is back in jail, and to my no one's surprise, he's tried to reach the roof again.
This guy's got a fetish for roofs.
He does, but he actually failed this time, and he was... Yeah, he was transferred to Brixton in June 1988. He pleaded guilty to armed robbery, and he was sentenced to 7 years. So he has been out for, you know, days.
Yeah.
We'll call it days. And now he's already back in for another 7 years.
Mate, you can't make it up.
Maybe
right?
He just likes prison.
So he was taken to Wandsworth Prison. He's been there before. I'd be surprised if there's a prison that this bloke hasn't been to at this point, right? And he ended up throwing water over the governor, and so he ended up spending a month at Durham, right? So I imagine there's a prison there, Durham Prison, and this is in quotes, by the way. They said that he bonded with a family of rodents that crept into his cell.
Ah, man.
The rodent whisperer.
It's always quite a moment when that happens.
Yeah. At least he had someone to chat to.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, in 1989, he was moved to a place called Long Larton, right? He was put in isolation after starting a one-man riot and then spent 2 months in Bristol after being moved back to Wandsworth in September 1989. I don't know if you guys can keep up with his movements here, but I am absolutely struggling. I'm curious, Chip. Was the entire movie just him in the back of a prison van?
I mean, it's a lot of prison time, I'll tell you that. Him oiling himself up, fighting guards and stuff.
Believe it or not, guys, this time at Parkhurst Prison, he was actually stabbed by two prisoners. That's right. It wasn't him doing the stabbing. He was stabbed by two prisoners, and he was stabbed in the back. But he didn't say anything to the police, right? He did not want to be the snitch that he is so many times... beat up, right? Ooh. So he didn't want to become that guy. He didn't say anything, okay? And he ended up being released in November 1992.
Damn. Well, anyway, after spending a grand total of 53 days free, he was arrested again for conspiracy to rob. So he was freed, like you said. He had a nice...
Wait, a conspiracy to rob? That seems a bit harsh.
Yeah, it is a bit harsh. But anyway, he actually insisted that his girlfriend and her friends were trying to, you know, set him up, lock him away. And on the 9th of February, 1993, the charges were dropped. And he was given a £600 fine for breaking the nose of one of the snitches.
That is... I mean, look, this guy really hates snitches. If there's one thing he doesn't like, it's quite clear... is snitches.
Mm-hmm. We have a little quote here, actually. I'll explain a bit more. 16 days later, he was arrested for conspiracy to rob and for possession of a sawn-off shotgun. So that's the first time we've heard about Bronson and a gun. So
he's got his hand on some firepower now, baby. Lord knows what's about to go down.
Yep. On remanding Woodhill, he took a civilian librarian hostage and demanded, here were his demands, by the way, these are absolutely nuts, an inflatable doll.
Okay, that's okay, we could give him that.
A helicopter.
Right, okay.
And a cup of tea.
Really?
Yeah, got a cup of tea. But yeah, that's what he demanded from the police negotiators. He did release the hostage in the end after being disgusted. After being disgusted when the man broke wind in front of him.
To anyone that doesn't know what that means, the bloke farted on him and he was so disgusted with the fart that he's let him go. Imagine that, like, guys, if you are ever held in a hostage situation, just fart your way to freedom.
He nearly had himself a helicopter. Yeah, just bottled it over a fart.
To no one's surprise, guys, at trial, he was found guilty and given another 8-year sentence. He was taken to Wakefield Prison, spent 40 days in isolation, naked. I'm not too sure why that's of note, but I can imagine it is slightly dehumanizing to spend the 40 days naked.
He loved having his knob out.
How do you know that? He was then transferred to Hull, where he took another governor hostage in 1994. He was defeated, though, and was transferred to Wakefield, right? And from there, he spent time in the Hannibal Cage. Here's a picture of what we're talking about, what the Hannibal Cage is, right? That is some seriously creepy stuff. But at this point, like, what else are you supposed to do with him?
Yeah.
The guy is so violent, he has to literally be in a cage.
He's a menace to prison society.
April 1996 comes along, and he was sent to Belmarsh, another very popular / famous prison in the UK. And he went there after taking a doctor hostage at the Birmingham prison. Now, only 5 months later, an Iraqi hijacker actually bumped into him and didn't apologize. So he took two of the other Iraqi hijackers hostage in his cell, right? And then he started to blame his madness on the recent death of his father, and he sang, laughed, and forced the Iraqis to call him general. Now, keep in mind, he's keeping them hostage, right? Do you know how nuts this is, right?
Well, like, there's three of them as well, and it's just one of him. Is that two or three of them? And it's just one of Charles.
And he's doing... Oh, this guy must be
terrifying.
He's
got him on the floor like, yeah, call me General. Call me General.
Now, if you thought the last list of demands that he asked for were ridiculous, well, this time, he demanded a plane to take him from Libya, two Uzi submachine guns, and 5,000 rounds of ammunition and an axe. One of the other guys that he took, he obviously had the two Iraqi hijackers, but he also had a fella named Greasley. Unfortunately, Greasley was caught up in it, but he was released. And once he released him, he started chanting, "I want ice cream."
Makes sense.
Look, this guy is just so unhinged. This story is mental, right?
Nothing unhinged about ice cream, fella.
No. I can understand the want for ice cream, but how about this, right? He actually felt guilty after hitting one of the hostages with a metal tray and therefore insisted that hostage that he had just hit him over the head but 4 times so they can call it quits.
It makes sense, to be fair.
That is one of those things, like, you know, if you accidentally dig your mate a bit too hard, you're like, oh, sorry, mate, oh, you can have a dig back.
Yeah, you steal a kill in Call of Duty.
So what he ended up doing was he slashed himself 4 times with a safety razor, but he agreed to release the hostages and walk back to the segregation unit. I mean, guys, this man is just so
honorable.
Nuts.
No? Not the right.
He's nuts. These stories are just so insane, right?
Yeah, well, that's why he's known as the most violent prisoner
of all time.
Yeah, of all time, pretty much.
And look, as you can imagine, after doing that little hostage stunt, there were 7 more years were added to his sentence, right? Admittedly, though, managed to nice it, Chip, because it wasn't 7, it was 5 after the appeal.
Oh,
Charles
nice.
Wasn't going down for 7, no way.
Nice.
Now, January 1999, right? He took Phil Danielson hostage because he criticized one of Bronson's bit of artwork. Wait, mate, that doesn't look as good as your other ones. Well, in retaliation, he took him hostage for an entire 44 hours before he released Phil and was on his way to the next prison. Can anyone keep up with this, truthfully?
No.
Can anyone?
No. 44 hours, though, that's quite a long time. I hope he fed him.
I don't know, man. The guy done 18 days of a hunger strike, so he's probably there like... Look, if I can do 18 days, you can do 2 days.
Yeah, that's true. So in 1999, an actual special prison unit was set up at Woodhill for a couple of famous prisoners, and that is obviously Bronson, Robert Maudslay, who was actually the Hannibal, and Reginald Wilson, as they actually posed a high threat to the staff and other prisoners.
I've got a question. Why has it taken this long to decide that Charles is now actually worthy of having his own thing? Yeah. I feel like we're about 20 years too late.
Yeah, it? But, you know, at least they got it done in the end.
Charles Bronson's love didn't just end there. In fact, Chip, what happened next?
Well, whilst he was in prison, somebody was actually writing to him.
That is lovely.
Yes, a lady that goes by the name of Fatima Syra Rehman. Might have butchered it, I'm sorry if I have. She wrote to him and visited him 10 different times. And then after that, they got married. What a love story.
All it took was 10 prison dates. And there's people out there going on daily Hinge and Tinder dates, and they can't even secure a boyfriend, girlfriend, and these all can get married after 10 dates.
Absolutely, and Charles was quite committed because once they did get married, Bronson actually turned to Islam. Okay. And he wanted to be known as Charles Ali Ahmed. So he was pretty committed to this. And then when they were divorced 4 years later,
is that a normal thing?
I think it does happen. It definitely happens. I know it happens, but you know, it's a bit of an interesting one because he's a prince.
Well, he wants to be known as Charles Ali Ahmed.
Yes. Right? Anyway, after they divorced 4 years later, he stopped practicing Islam, so he sacked it off. So it's not quite. It's not very good for him.
Yeah, it sounds like he was doing it to keep her happy.
Yes, anyway. In August 2013, a petition with 10,000 signatures was presented to 10 Downing Street, calling for the release of Charles Bronson. And in an enclosed note, Bronson actually appealed to Prime Minister at the time, David Cameron, for him to be able to live what's left of my life and not be buried in the prison system. So he obviously wanted to get out and actually enjoy the final few years that he might have.
Look, man, he's still a bit too young for me to be able to say live what's left of my life. Yeah. And not only that, mate, he's constantly if he hadn't done anything for like 20 years, you could be like, fine. But the keys is just reckless.
Yeah, and obviously the petition was the wrong idea anyway, because in 2014, after that whole incident, he then attacked the governor again in Woodhill and was sentenced to 2 years. So he definitely wasn't ready to be released.
Not a chance.
And in August 2014, he then told everyone he was going to change his name from Charles Bronson to Charles Salvador. It was actually after an artist called Salvador Dali.
And you guys will definitely know this image, this very famous image from Salvador Dali. You will know it. And if you don't know it, get some culture about you.
I don't know it.
Charles, obviously, you know, he doesn't want to live his life without love. He's had a few love interests throughout his time, despite spending most of his time locked up. Next up was an actress who goes by the name Paula Williamson, right? He proposed to her and she accepted. Hallelujah. Fantastic times, right? But then unfortunately, in July 2018, he asked for a divorce after some stories of her and her time in Tenerife were leaked, right? And in July 2019, unfortunately, she passed away. Now, the latest bit of info that we have for you guys is that in June 2020, Charles won a high court battle for the right for his parole board meeting to be held in public, citing the right to a fair trial. Now, we wouldn't just leave you there, guys, because we do have some small bits of fun information, I suppose.
Yeah.
What were some of the things that Charles claimed, Chip?
Well, for a start, whilst he was in prison, he claimed that he could do 172 press-ups in 1 minute. So that is pretty insane stuff, to be honest.
Yeah, mate, 172 press-ups in 60 seconds.
That's like three push-ups.
That's three every second.
Yeah, three every second. That's insane. That.
But at the same time,
but
I'm not going to lie, bro, if there's one Donnie that could do it,
it's him.
But he said 94 sit-ups in 30 seconds, right? And of course, guys, this guy was a pioneer of the booming fitness industry. And he wrote a fitness book, right? It was called Solitary Fitness. Give it a read.
It'd be a good name for a gym, you know. Solitary Fitness. I like it a lot.
It sounds like...
Yeah, it's not dark, dingy. You go in there, you don't put no headphones in.
Exactly. Now, look, supposedly, right, he told his his wife, or, you know, he proposed to Paula Williamson, right? He told Paula that she needs to be doing 400 sit-ups every single day to make sure she doesn't get fat.
How nice of him.
What? That man was looking out for her. Absolutely. Now, listen, guys, he's published 11 books, right? And he's won 11 trust awards, right? For poetry and art. That is pretty amazing, right? In fact, some of his art was actually put up at a tube station in London called Angel Tube Station in April 2020 for 2 weeks. So this is sick. Like, I think that's so cool that he's actually been able to do that.
Yeah, even though he spent most of his life in prison, he's still kind of made something of himself.
Yeah.
You know, an artist, a poet.
Now, look, he's currently 69 years old and he's still being held indefinitely. He insisted he will be out, in quotes, sooner than a lot think. But to this day, he still remains behind bars.
I'm going to hold him to that. Also, yeah. Why do I feel like this man's more successful than me and he's not free?
I know, that's actually so true, mate. Where are your 11 awards, mate?
How's he doing this in prison? And I can't,
We're out here fucking doing this. We're talking about him.
We're doing Nish.
He needs to write a book about us.
That is true. I'd appreciate that. But anyway, guys, thank you so much for watching another Fellas Mysteries from myself, PC Crimes and the Detective Freezy. We will see you all next Monday for another case.
Do the thingy.